we can read from verse 32 up to verse 54. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, and took out a stone, and he flung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharon, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Amen. After sermon, let us read once again our text, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. The valley of Elah is the battleground in our text. A valley lies between two different armies. On one side, the champion Goliath represented the Philistines. The other side did not have any champion for the 40 days. Then David came from Bethlehem, as you heard about 2 weeks ago. He heard Goliath say, "Give me a man that we may fight together." And David said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then, whose words will be true? Who will become the final victor? Who do you side with between these two fighters? Where are you standing in this battle? It is very, very important for you to know who you are going to support and stand by between these two, because at the end of the battle, there will be life and death consequence depending on who becomes the final champion. With the Lord's help, we'd like to consider the theme, God's victory over Goliath. We will consider 3 points under this theme. First, God rejects human power. Second, God equips with his name. Third, God delivers by the Anointed One. In the valley of Elah, David just said that he would go and fight with this Philistine, the fearful enemy, Goliath. No one said that he would go and fight with this gigantic enemy until David did. Shouldn't Saul be pleasantly surprised, and shouldn't Saul be glad as David does? But Saul immediately questions David's ability to fight. To Saul's eye, David was just a youth. He is totally and utterly unqualified to the eyes of Saul. Saul does so because he puts his trust in human power. Saul believed that physical power could save him and his army from the danger he was in. So when David was willing to go and fight, Saul pointed out that David was just a boy. Furthermore, Saul emphasized Goliath was an experienced warrior, while David was a youth. Warrior means he's already very much experienced with so many fights from his youth. The fact that David was not experienced was another reason why Saul could not trust David. Why Saul had to trust David and put the entire faith of his nation in the hands of this young boy. Isn't Saul logical, isn't he? Yet, Saul seems to be half persuaded after he heard what David had to share from his experience. What experience does David have? He was the shepherd of his father's sheep. Verse 34 and 35 sheds light on his experience. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it." After hearing David, Saul seems to be persuaded. If he thought David could fight against these strong animals, maybe David might be strong enough to fight with this enemy. Saul finally agreed with David and saying, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." After this, Saul could not change David's age and his experience. But there was one thing that he could have changed, that is what he was wearing as a shepherd. So Saul gave his armor to David so that David could use Saul's armor to fight with this fearful enemy. Especially this enemy that was fully armed with the weapons very powerful in those days. You already know how much armor and weapons Goliath was equipped with. So Saul gave David, according to verse 38 and 39, his helmet, his coat of mail, and his sword. Saul was convinced that David needed these to fight with Goliath. But David could not use them. He was not used to such armor. What a temptation it could be for David. But David eventually took off Saul's armor, refusing Saul's offer. Verse 39b says, "David said unto Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tasted them. And David just now rejected the best weapons in his days. In our text, not only Saul pursued such human power in the battlefield, Goliath did too. Verse 5 through 7 already described the weapons of Goliath. When this fearful enemy approaches David with his shield bearer, he evaluates everything as he sees. First, he despised David because he was a young boy with a beautiful appearance. Goliath was judging by David's outer appearance. Second, Goliath pointed to the stick that David has, and Goliath feels insulted when he sees David was bringing the stick. Bellowing, Goliath says, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with sticks? You can imagine how strange it appeared when David came into the battlefield without any visible weapon. Furthermore, Goliath cursed David by the name of his gods. Saul and Goliath were enemies. One was in this valley, in this side of the valley, and the other was in that side of the valley. And apparently, these two are in opposition against each other. But what do you see? They both believed in human power ultimately. Saul may have thought he was part of the army of God, but in actual fact, he did not trust in God. The Spirit of the Lord left him in the previous chapter, and Saul did not trust in God anymore. Goliath had his God, but his trust was also in human power. Goliath was very proud to show off his physical power to a seemingly weak David. Dear congregation, do we not experience this kind of strange consistency between people inside the church and people outside the church? Surely Saul and Goliath shared the same perspective that victory belongs to human power. To them, human power and human weapons are most important. But to God, these weapons and these armor were only hindrance to his salvation. God rejected human power, and David was going without such apparent weapons. The world quickly sees weaknesses with Christians. They might say, church services are too boring. They will never win people to church if they were to continue to worship in this way and they were to keep the Sabbath in this way. And people in the church easily agree and say with them, we have to change the way we worship and we have to change the way we keep our Sabbath. Then we will draw more people by changing it. The enemies of Christians may say, Christians are powerless before the government, and so churches should follow whatever civil law the government enforces the church to keep, even when it is opposed to the law of God. some people in church echo these similar thoughts to each other. You are poor, so you cannot give for God. You are not educated, and how can you speak for the cause of God? Then we focus on human power. But here, God sets aside the human power that people naturally think essential. What will God use instead to equip David? David took shepherd's step. Then, look, David goes to the brook and selects 5 smooth stones. It seems that David knows that even though God rejects human power, he knows that God still uses the means. David had a sling. David had 5 stones in case he might miss at his first attempt. And David has his staff. Are these all the armor? Are these all the weapons that David are in possession with at this moment? No. The Lord arms David with more than these. This leads to our second point. God equips with His name. David never withdraws from this gigantic and fearful enemy. No matter how great the weapons the Goliath might have, David explains to Goliath and all who hear why he dared to fight with Goliath. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." When David says this, he is not taking the name of the Lord in vain. The third commandment says that we should not take the name of the Lord in vain. Rather, David uses the name of God when it is most urgent situation for himself, for his family, and for his nation. In that way, rather, David honors the name of the Lord. David confesses in Psalm 20, saying, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 20, verse 7. What a name this is! God's name is the revelation of Himself. God's name shows who He is to us. He is eternal God. Nothing of this world is eternal. He is infinite God. To Him, there is no limit. We are so much bound with time and place, but God is everywhere, and He is the one who governs the entire universe. Children, think about the stars that you see in the summer sky. Can you count them? Too many to count. the Bible speaks of this God. To whom will ye liken, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? Who he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He calls them by their names. All of them, not only in number, but all the names. Isaiah 40, 25, 26 says, this God is the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. This also means He is not only the Almighty and infinite God, but also He reveals in special way to His people, which is the church. The church, the covenant people. He has made Himself known to Israel as the God of grace and help, the God who delivers in need and redeems from trouble. In another psalm, David says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This God is the captain and king of Israel. Israel's armies are under his banner. All others see Goliath's greatness, but David sees the greatness of God's name. To others, physical weapons are rare, but to David, the name of God is far more real, far more true, and far more great. Do you know this God like that? Many people struggle between the intellectual knowledge of God and the experiential knowledge of God. But in actual fact, these two types of knowledge go hand in hand. One supports the other. That's exactly what David confesses in our text. Verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. See, David's knowledge about God's name was supported by his personal experience as a shepherd boy in Bethlehem. Children, do you know how strong a lion can be? Can you imagine how strong a bear could be? A male lion can weigh as much as 400 pounds. And the Bible also says that the lion never withdraws from any other enemy, any other beast in the field. Proverbs 30:29 says, it retreats from nothing. David was surely aware of the fact that he was not a match for such a fearful enemy like Goliath. But what he knew was God's mighty power and His great mercy in delivering him from the lion and bear. That gave him confidence that the Lord would also deliver him from this Philistine. How then could David trust that this God who helped him, who would also help him this time as he is about to take on Goliath? Yes, God delivers him from the paw of the lion and from the paw of bear, but will God also deliver him this time from the hand of this Philistine? How can David be assured this time once again? There are apparent two reasons in our text. First of all, it is clearly shown that at the end of verse 45, David speaks of the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. The reason is that Goliath defied the name of the Lord. David, by attacking the people of God, the army of God, he clearly defied the name of God and attacked God in that way. The second reason is found at the end of verse 46. The Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The purpose of David's fight was not only removing the reproach that Goliath imposed on the name of God, but also many nations, the entire earth, may know that there is a God in Israel. David wanted that God's name to be known throughout the earth. Though people wanted to have their own king like other nations, and they received their first king as they wished Saul, but originally Israel belonged to God, and God was the king of this nation, Israel. And in that way, the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's what David is saying. David was sure for his victory through God's name. As you and I live on this future battlefield, how real is this God's name to us? Is his name just one of the many names that you know of? How much do you cherish God's name based on all His promises and based on all that He did in you and for you for His name's sake? God's name is crucial in this battlefield. If we have everything else, but we don't have this name of the Lord, then we will not win this battle. Is his name real to you, or you feel indifferent about this name? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 18, verse 10. What a powerful armor the name of the Lord is. Nothing is greater armor than His name. Nothing is better than to go into the battlefield with than God's name. David will not fear for anything because of God's name. We have seen how God rejects human power, but still how God equips David with His name. And all the assemblies that know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, our text says. What is the consequence of God equipping David with His name? This leads to our third point. God delivers by the Anointed One. Though God Himself won this battle, the deliverance that God's people experienced was without sword. As soon as David finished his words, Goliath arose and went toward David. David also moved quickly toward Goliath. At this moment, David put out one of his stones in the bag and put it in his sling and whirled his sling and let the stone fly into the air. And suddenly, Goliath was stopped in his tracks and toppled to the ground. Children, you know what happened. The stone had hit him in the forehead, and it sank in his forehead, and David was already dead. Without waiting, David ran and stood upon Goliath and cut off his head with the sword of Goliath. Surprisingly, the fight was over before it hardly had begun. Is this thanks to David's skills? Is David a hero in our text? No. David confessed already that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. When Goliath fell, it was not just a surprising victory of a shepherd boy. The battle is the Lord's. Many people use the images of Goliath and David whenever they compare a little fighter and a gigantic fighter. But in our text, God won the battle. Remember, all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And yet, God used David. Look at verse 50. So, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. This image of David standing upon Goliath and cutting off the head of Goliath is a victorious image. In this image, God is showing the deliverance of Israel was possible by the Anointed One. Though God Himself won this battle, God used His Anointed One. In verse 46-47, David explained the ultimate purpose of this battle. The Lord will deliver, that all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. This text says, the Lord does not save with sword and spear. But it does not mean that the Lord does not save. The Lord still saves, but what does He use? Does He use swords? No. The Lord uses the Anointed One. That's His distinctive means of salvation. David typifies the greater David, Jesus Christ. David's victory was to let the world know that how God saves, not by sword and spear, but by the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. His victory would be in a far deeper way, as we have now the New Testament. Think about the suffering Savior, Jesus Christ. He suffered throughout His life. He suffered also by being ridiculed, by being despised by His own people. He suffered by dying the death on the cross, the most despisable, shameful death. Jesus, after being ridiculed, mocked, and spit on the face, He died on the cross. He seemed to be so powerless, while the devil was so strong. What can a man whose feet and hands were nailed to the cross do? What can he do? Can he conquer? Yet Jesus finally won the greatest battle ever in the entire history of human beings against Satan by his death. By his death, Jesus trampled under his feet Satan, crushing his head, as was promised in Genesis 3:15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Christ is now exalted as a victorious king at the right hand of God. Now, what does this one of the most well-known stories of the Bible mean to you and me today? Jesus Christ is victorious. Yes, Jesus Christ is victorious, and the defeat, the utter defeat, is the one of his enemies. I would like to ask you again my question at the beginning of this sermon. Whose side are you standing today? Who do you belong to on this day of battlefield? Are you still following this powerful enemy of this world represented by Goliath, which is Satan ultimately? Are you? The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Psalm 53 verse 1 says, that may be about your description as you defy God's name. You might not defy God's name outwardly, but do your actions and words betray you, showing that you do not care about His name, showing that you do not love Him? Do you really honor God in your heart, in your home, and your workplace? those who could define God in any possible way should remember what happened to Goliath. What happened to Goliath? To the last moment, to the last day of his life, he kept defying the name of the Lord. He utterly ignored the warning of David on that day. Even what he trusted was the very means to cut off his head. The judgment upon him was sudden, complete, and eternal. Please do not stay there if you are standing in that line. Do not throw God's warning away like Goliath did. Today might be your last day. God could use such a tiny virus, such a seemingly useless storm. God could use such a small distraction on the road so that you could die. The text today says that all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. That means still the Lord saveth in his way through the Anointed One. Jesus can snatch you out of the mouth of the lion, Satan, as David did with his little lamb out of the mouth of the lion and bear. Call upon the name of the Lord today that you may be saved from Satan. Dear congregation, he is willing to save in our text today. He doesn't want you to stay in that line for Goliath. Do you belong to this Anointed One who says, the Lord does not save with sword and spear? Once Goliath was killed, all the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Verse 52. The victory and the joy was that of David, but it was not only for David. His joy and victory was shared by the people and army of the entire Israel and Judah. His victory is exactly becomes our victory. They also overcame their power, overcame the power of the Satan. What a joy this must be. This joy is shared and becomes greater and greater joy. Then why do you doubt this victory? No matter how weak you may be, the battle is the Lord's. You may feel that at the end, what will happen to me? But remember, it is not about your name in this battlefield. You will never win this battle if you are trusting in your own name and in your own power. You are truly who you are when you know who Jesus Christ in the battlefield, who wins the battle for us, and his victory becomes ours, not ours, becomes his. This is a call to fight, not in your strength, but out of the strength of Christ's victory. The stone which the builders refused is become the half stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 22, 24. As we come and as we worship God, are we not marveling at this wondrous victory by Jesus Christ, who was sent by God for the helpless people, who fought the fight and who won the battle for His people against sin and Satan, that we may sing the song of His victory unto our God? Is not our God worthy of our praise as you are here today? If He has snatched you out of the mouth of the lion and kept you from being devoured by the Satan, again and again, this is not thanks to your own strength, but it was only due to His. Your battle may seem ongoing, endless. You are surrounded by so many enemies around you and within you. You feel so very weak and helpless as you look at yourselves. But do not forget from our text today, the battle is already won and the remaining battle is still the Lord's, not ours. As the Lord's anointed one said, all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Romans 16 echoes, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.